Richard, it's good that you're here to share the word. Come on up here, I want to pray for you, buddy. Father, I thank you for Richard. Thank you, Lord, for what you've been doing in his life. He comes to you now, Lord, wanting to be your mouthpiece. So fill him afresh with your Holy Spirit. And as he speaks, we would have ears to hear what you're saying. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now just before you speak, we had someone, we've had a bit of a leak going on in the top and back end of the building. And in a simple process, it's been water blasted, some moss that has gathered on the very top. And we just need someone youthful enough and available enough to climb up the top and paint the very top, seal it so it's protected. And if you feel you can help, I'm sure Karen would like to hear from you in the next wee while. Thanks, Rich.
How are we doing today? Good. Awesome. So, let me get organized here. So I just got a quick question to ask you guys, right? Who has a calling from God in here? Everyone's hand should be going up, right? Now, who knows their calling in here? Awesome. Okay, so what I want you guys to do is just spend the next couple of minutes talking to the person next to you about that calling and sort of refresh it all, because sometimes it takes a while for those to come about. So yeah, just for the next 2 minutes, just talk to one another, see how it's all going and see how that process is going. Awesome. So today we talk. Is that still good? Yep. Cool. So today I'm going to be talking about someone we probably all know about, Moses, and his calling in life. So if you guys, I will be reading a few passages from Exodus. So for those who like to follow along, I'll be starting in Exodus 3. And I'll just give you through a few seconds to get there, and I'll just sort of give you a bit of a context of what I'm going to be speaking on. So here in Exodus 3, we're up to where Moses was. He was born as an Israelite, and somehow, not going into too much detail, he ends up as one of Pharaoh's sons. He ends up leaving and into the wilderness, and ends up marrying into this family out in the wilderness. And he becomes a shepherd. So Moses, right, this is where I reckon like the best part is. This is where a whole big chunk of where Moses' calling comes from. And the whole time I talk about this, I'm trying to relate how Moses' calling is similar to our calling in life, right? So follow along and I will, and I'll point out some points I want to make. So Moses ends up pretty much meeting God at this burning bush. And it says in chapter 3, verse 8, so this is God talking. So I have come down to rescue them from the power of the Egyptians and lead them out of Egypt into their own fertile and spacious land. It is a land flowing of milk and honey, and where the Canaanites, Hittites, blah, 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 but now live. Sorry, I cannot pronounce those guys' names, but it's all good. I'm sure the Lord will be gracious and forgive me for not being able to pronounce a different language. So that is God's promise, right? So here's Moses. He's met God in at the burning bush, and now God has promised him, this is what I'm going to do. So that's his promise. Now comes his calling. Then he says in verse 10, "Now go, for I'm sending you to Pharaoh. You must lead my people Israel out of Egypt." And when I read this, I was just like, wait, hang on. Didn't God just say, so I have gone down to rescue them? And I was thinking, so is Moses going to go or is God going to go? But it's, as we find out later, God actually goes with Moses and goes through Moses, and God and Moses is like his carrier. He carries God. But when Moses first heard this, he sort of protested. He's just like, you know, what, me? No, I'm just this basic, shepherd, you know. He says, but Moses protested to God, "Who am I to appear before Pharaoh? Who am I to lead the people out of Israel, or people of Israel out of Egypt?" And then God answered, "I will be with you, and this is your sign that I am the one who has sent you." So here he is saying, you are not going alone. I'm actually going to be with you. And that's God's answer to his question, because he protested, you know. So he ends up going and saying, and God gives him an answer, you know, to his question. And then God confirms what his promise was. So I have promised to rescue you. He tells what to say to the Israelites. "I have promised to rescue you from your oppression in Egypt. I will lead you from the land of flowing of milk and honey and lead with the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, righty right, now live." Right? Sorry. Forgive me for that. But you see, then Moses protests again. He says, "What if they don't believe me? What if they say, the Lord never appeared to you?" And then God responds and gives him an answer, because these are all questions, you know, in his calling. He's called him to go and do this miraculous thing that he's just like, what the heck? So he hears these issues. And the Lord gives him an answer. Chapter 4, verse 5, "Perform the sign the Lord has told him." Then they will believe that the Lord, the God of the ancestors, of the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has really appeared to you. And the sign that he told them to do was to throw your staff down and it would turn into a snake. So there he goes. He answers the issue that he has, which is, what if they don't believe that I sent you? And then Moses pleaded with God, "Oh God, I'm not very good with my words. I have never been. And now, this is what I'm like at the moment. "And not now, even though you have spoken to me, I get tongue-tied and my words get tangled." See, like what I'm doing right now.
I've been there, buddy.
Oh, yeah. Believe it. So, and then God, once again, he answers his problem that he has. He goes, "Now go, I will be with you as you speak, and I will instruct you what to say." So he has a problem. He gets tongue-tied. He mixes his words, so God's going to be with him. But then Moses, again, he pleads, "Lord, please send anyone else but me." This is verse 13. So he then pleads, saying, "Send anyone else but me." And God actually gets angry. He goes, "Look, I've pretty much given you every single thing you need to do this, and you still don't want to do it." But being the gracious God that he is, he once again gives an answer. And he says, "Go to your brother Aaron. Talk to him." This is in verse 15. "Talk to him and put the words in his mouth. I will be with both of you as you speak, and I will instruct both of you in what to do. Aaron will be your spokesman for the people, and he will be the mouthpiece, and you will stand in the place of God for him, telling him what to say Now, that right there, I was just like, that's crazy. God tells Moses that he's going in the place of God. So Moses is actually his representative. He's going to tell Aaron what to say, and then Aaron is going to tell Pharaoh. So all that aside, while Moses goes, well, you have called me to do this. You have promised me this. Every single thing I have had an issue with, you've come up and said, okay, I am going to meet you halfway and I'm going to equip you. So there is the promise of deliverance, the promise of the promised land. He has been called to lead them out. And with the issues that he's had, he has then, God has said, okay, I'm going to equip you with what you need to go and actually do what I've instructed you to do. So that I was just like, man, isn't God good that he's going to actually do this through him now? So before Moses leaves, he goes back and he tells his family, and before he leaves for Egypt, God actually tells him here in verse 21, chapter 4, verse 21. Now, when I read this, I was real troubled because I had to, like, question myself. I actually ended up ringing up Dad, and I was just like, Dad, what does this mean? So I've actually had to do a little bit of research, and I believe I've sort of come down to what God was meaning when he said this. A little bit down into verse 21, I'll read the whole thing. And the Lord told Moses, when you arrive back in Egypt, go to Pharaoh and perform all the miracles I have empowered you to do. And then this is the part that really shocked me. He goes, but I will harden his heart so he will refuse to let the people go. And I was just like, wait, hang on. God's making it hard? Like, isn't it like the whole point is to like get his people out of Egypt? But no, he goes, I'm going to harden his heart. And I thought, no, this can't be right. So I ended up, I asked Dad, and Dad goes, well, what do you think? I was just like, I don't know. He goes, well, go find out and see what you can find. And I was like, okay. And I didn't ask him since because I sort of found out. So I ended up finding out that it wasn't God directly hardened his heart, because the question, the main underlying factor of the question was, if God hardened his heart, how can Pharaoh be held responsible for not letting them go by pretty much saying, no, I'm not going to let them go. I'm not going to let them go if God's hardened his heart. But it was, in fact, what God was doing in the place that Pharaoh didn't like. He didn't like being pretty much told what to do, so he hardened up his heart. Have you ever tried to tell someone about Jesus or about God or something, and they just get all hard? They're like, oh no, you know, I'm a good person, you know, and they just get all hard. And that's the same thing that happened to Pharaoh, is that he's just like, he got all stuck up and hard, and don't you tell me what to do. You know, I'm the boss around here. But the thing is that when Moses went and told him, it's not Moses, the shepherd person. It is God using the shepherd person with the authority of God himself to go and tell him. And that's what he was calling was. He was a representative of God. when Pharaoh hardened his heart, when Moses told him to let his people go, Pharaoh... that same day, so now I'm reading from verse 5, chapter 6. That same day, Pharaoh sent this order to the Egyptian slave drivers and the Israelite foremen. Do not supply any more straw for making bricks. Make the people get it themselves, but still require them to make the same number of bricks as before. Don't reduce the quota. They are lazy, that's why they are crying out. So here... Moses, he went, he asked Pharaoh, Pharaoh said no, he hardened his heart. On top of that, he made it hard for the Israelites. He then told them to make bricks, which back in the day they used to do straw and mud and water, all to make bricks. And just they had to get it all themselves. And in the next couple of verses, it says that they couldn't make it. They couldn't meet the quota because they couldn't find the straw, and they just couldn't make it. So the foreman, the Israelite foreman, this is in verse 21, Now the foreman said to Aaron and Moses, and if I was in their shoes, I had been called by God, I had had the promise, I had been equipped, I went and I did what God told me to do, and then these four, Pharaoh makes it hard, and then the foreman say to them, in verse 21, may the Lord judge and punish you for making us stink before Pharaoh and his officials. You have put a sword into their hand to execute, to kill us. Oh, yeah. Then Moses went back to the Lord and protested, why have you brought all this trouble on your own people, Lord? Why have you sent me? Ever since I came to Pharaoh as your spokesman, he has been even more brutal to your people, and you have done nothing to rescue them. So here he is. He's done everything God's told him to do, and then it's just gotten so hard. And sometimes when we are called to do something and we have been promised to do something and we do everything, we're equipped and we go and tell, we go and we start to do what God says, it just goes just like downhill. And it's just like, what the heck? God, I did absolutely everything you told me to do and now it's going downhill. Like, there is no, like, am I supposed to be doing this? And that's where a lot of us get discouraged. We're like, oh, everything's going sucky. But the thing is that it's the enemy trying to get in and stop us and break us down. And sometimes God uses it to teach us things, teach us to rely on him. So, yes. Now, Lord, after Moses has his little tantrum at God, in chapter 6, the Lord then responds to him. He says, then the Lord told Moses, now you will see what I will do to Pharaoh. When he feels the force of my strong hand, he will let my people go. In fact, he will force them to leave his lands. So, and I was just like, yeah, like, he's not just going to say, all right, off you go. He's going to be like, man, get out of here. Like, I don't want you here no more. And once again, that's another one of God's promises. God is promising them and reassuring them. And further along in chapter 6, verse 6, he promises again. He reminds him, therefore, say to the people of Israel, I am the Lord. I will free you from your oppression, and I will rescue you from your slavery in Egypt. I will redeem you with a powerful arm and great acts of judgment. I will claim you as my people. I will be your God, and I will be your God. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God who has freed you from your oppression in Egypt. I will bring you to the land I swore to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I will give you, I will give it to you as your very own possession. I am the Lord. And once again, he is reminding them. So they've been, Moses has been called, he's been promised, he's been equipped, he's gone and told them what to do, and he's gone downhill. But what God is doing is that God is reminding him of his calling and of his promise. And this is the point that I want to make. This is the underlining thing to take away, which is don't look at your circumstances, look at your calling, because that's the underlining thing that's going to get you through. Because if you look at your circumstances, you're going to be like, oh man, this sucks, I can't speak, I can't, you know, who am I to do this? But the thing is that God is going to carry you through that.
Amen.
And once again, in chapter verse 13, he reminds them, but this time he's a lot more stern. Chapter 13, a little bit further on, the Lord, chapter 6, verse 13. The Lord commanded Moses and Aaron to lead the people out of Israel. So once again, he is reminding them, I am commanding you to do this. Now, sometimes, I've heard excuses I've never experienced myself because I am young, but a lot of people think, you know, I can't do this because I'm too old or I'm too young or whatever. But did you know when Moses got called, he was 80 years old? He was 80 years old, man. Like,
yeah, that's really old.
That's really old. That's almost as old as Dad. Isn't that awesome? Like, God uses, like, everyone, you know? And, yeah, that was cool. Like, so Moses and Aaron did just what the Lord commanded them. Moses was 80 years old and Aaron was 83 when they made their demands to Pharaoh. So, you know, that's, yeah, woohoo, that's right. You'll need that energy to sort of put up with that sort of, with that intenseness. I don't know what else to call it. So, anyway, time and time again, in verse 10, chapter 7, verse 10, so Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and did what the Lord commanded them. Aaron threw down his staff before Pharaoh and his officials, and it became a serpent. Then Pharaoh called in his own wise men and sorcerers, and these Egyptian magicians did the same thing with their magic. They threw down their staffs, which also became serpents. So, okay, I just got the sign. Oh, threw me off. Anyway, it's all good. Anyway, so, you know, in this, he went and he did what God told him to do. But then the enemy popped up and did the exact same thing. But the next verse, it says that his snake overpowered the magician's snake, which once again, God came up on top. And this whole time, it's this huge arm wrestle between Pharaoh saying, like, one of the plagues happened, the plague of frogs, and Pharaoh ended up saying, look, your people can go, just get these frogs out of here. And Moses goes, okay, he prayed to God, all the frogs died, and then Pharaoh hardened his heart up again and said, well, no, you can't actually leave again, sorry. No, I'm not letting you go. And time again, it's this huge arm wrestle. And in life, that's what it's like sometimes. It's this huge arm wrestle going uphill, downhill. We win some, we lose some. But the thing is that we've got to keep our eyes on the calling. We have to keep on moving forward, listening to God. And not once did Moses do something that God told him not to do. Every single thing that Moses did, God told him to do that. So we need to be listening and doing what God tells us to do to go forward into our calling. And as we know, they ended up, Pharaoh ended up letting their people go. He actually forced them out. And then later on, he turned around and he said, you know what? Nah, I'm not letting them go. And he did the final chase down, the final attack of the enemy. It says here, I just want to quickly read this because I thought this was real powerful. It's like the whole entire enemy force came after him. When the word reached the king of Egypt that the Israelites had fled, this is chapter 14, verse 5, had fled, Pharaoh and his officials changed their minds. What have we done? Letting those Israelites slaves get away? They asked. So Pharaoh harnessed his chariot and called up his troops. He took with him 600 Egypt's best chariots, along with the rest of the chariots of Egypt, each with its commander. And the Lord hardened his heart of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. So he chased after the people of Israel, who had left with their fists raised in defiance. And the Egyptians chased after them with all the forces of Pharaoh's army. Before we get to the promise, the enemy is going to come after us 110% trying to stop us from God's calling. So my challenge for you is to look to God for what to do, to obey God in all that he asks, and to do not get down when you think it doesn't work, because God uses everything. Not some things, he uses everything for good. That's right. Yes. Very good.
Well, that's a great encouragement. You know, we all have a calling. Come, follow me. Come, follow me. Despite the ups and downs, despite when the enemy ramps up his attack, remember the calling. Come, follow me. Oh yeah, that's good. Good word, Rach. You've obviously been under some good preaching somewhere. Oh, come on, everybody. Let's just receive that word from the Lord and say, yes, Lord, I'll not lose heart. I'll not lose sight of your calling in my life. You know, someone, you talked a minute ago with someone. What is your calling? And so don't lose sight of that. And despite the outward circumstance, remember what he's done. He did it. I like the fact that all that opposition took place. And it, you know, it must have, the Bible says the people of God didn't believe because of their broken spirit and cruel bondage. So, you know, Moses comes along, he tells the good news, everybody goes, yay! Then they're told to make bricks without straw. Boo! They even try and stone Moses. So, you know, not a great audience to be speaking to, really, was it? And but when God finally turned up, wow, did he turn up. You know, and even in the process, the Egyptian magician said, this is the finger of God. And finally, the deliverance through the Red Sea. So stay faithful to what you know God has said. You might be in the middle of a new season, but the calling, the gifts and calling of God are without reproach. He's not forgotten you. Let's stand. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the word we received this morning. I thank you, Lord, for the calling on Richard's life. I pray, Lord God, that this word would be as he's given. He would walk into it. Even when it all seems to go pear-shaped, he would stay faithful to you. Lord, you'd use him more in these coming days to be a proclaimer of your word and of your will. Father, for us all now, Lord, we just surrender ourselves afresh to you. We love you. We love you. We're so grateful for you. And we say, Father, I've decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. We give you praise. Amen. God bless you, everybody. Stay faithful.